Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Red Men TV. Now, Liverpool are going to be kicking off against Newcastle United at 12:30 on Saturday. And we're here to discuss that because, as always, we have been a Liverpool fan channel. We are fans of Liverpool and we are fans of Liverpool football that happens on the pitch. But of course, as you well know, we've been covering all the incidents that have been happening around as well. I want to thank everyone for their support in this time. Obviously, the fight to shut down the Super League is a battle that's been won, but the war is ongoing. And a lot of people are asking us, but what comes next? Just so you're aware of the stance of Red Men TV right here, right today, we're going to be taking our lead from the likes of Spirit of Shankly and Spy and Cop 1906 as well. And when we know what happens next with regards to Liverpool's ownership situation and with regards to reforms in football in this country and with regards to UEFA and the Champions League, etc., then rest assured we'll make that perfectly clear to you guys as well. Right, yeah, we're going to be doing the show, so let me introduce the people that we've got with us in the studio. Chris Pajak joins me in the studio, and we've got Callum Sanderson and Steve Hoare from home for this one as well. Obviously, yeah, attention returns for now at least to the football. Liverpool, Newcastle, what do we do? Do we know anything about what happened in the last game of football Liverpool played? Because that's going to be an interesting conversation. How do we line up and what sort of threat will Newcastle pose on the pitch? Right, now, before we dive into all that, of course, I just need to let you know, I'll be honest with you, it feels a little uncomfortable to do this in the current climate and what have you. Maybe it might come across as a touch crass, but unfortunately, we have a certain obligations and responsibilities with regards to sponsorship. Now, the show is sponsored by the Hold the L Show on the Super 6 YouTube channel, but we're very clear about the content they produced this week. They are talking about the Super League and the impact and what have you that it has. It was a little clip from it. I want you guys to check that out, and then we'll have a little bit of a chat about it after that.
We all want our club to be well run. We want them to pay the best money. We want them to have the best players. We created this monster ourselves. Us, the leagues, the clubs, and you look at the Bosman rule and it's given player power. The clubs want their power back. The UEFA have got power. The players have got power. The clubs want it back. This is what they're doing. We don't need UEFA to go. We're the big boys. Look at the media industry right now. You've got Twitter followers being more important than actual journalism.
Yes, thank you so much. You can check that out on the whole show on this Super 6 YouTube channel. The link will be in the description. Please do go over there and leave a comment and some thoughts. It's some interesting topics. Chris, just to give people a little bit of like a behind the scenes on this, I mean, personally, we were a little bit worried about this because a lot of the topics on that channel have been really interesting, really fun. We've had a good laugh. We've both been on that channel. You're on it this week. They can be quite lighthearted. There was going to be a more lighthearted topic this week, but they were good enough to change the topic to something that people were more passionate about.
Yeah, we wanted behind the scenes. We recorded the lighthearted one and pushed for this one, to be honest with you. So it was nice to be given the platform to be able to air our uncensored views, which was fantastic. So I was obviously on there with Flav and DT, and it was nice to get perspective from two lads who also represent some of those big six clubs. Mm-hmm. And it was a really, really good show, and I'd absolutely recommend going to see it. Now, there was raw emotion there because it was literally Monday morning, first thing. And I always think raw emotion provides great content. Yeah. And it provides people with genuine views. So I'd 100% recommend it. I just want to say as well, I think what you said before, absolutely brilliant as you introduced the show. Everybody knows where I stand. I want reform, but I also know that unity is strength. You know, it's something that we all know, and that's why I am 100% behind backing whatever Spirit of Shankly and the Spying Cop 1906 want to do, because I understand that to get genuine reform, you need change, but you need unity to enact that change.
100% agree with that. I think, it's one of those situations, and we will talk about the footy, we will talk about Newcastle, But, you know, I think Chris's point spot on with that is that, you know, we've seen in the last few days what can happen when everyone speaks together with one voice. There needs to be clarity of message. Now, we're seeing things flying around social media. And look, if fans choose to protest outside Anfield, you know, without the backing of Spurs and Shankly, we'll still make sure that, you know, we're able to give people coverage and platform for those things, of course. But it is important right now that the next step, we need to tread. I say tread carefully doesn't mean that we tread lightly, like lightheartedly, but it is important that whatever happens next, the message is enacted in the right way.
I think that's fair to say. They say everyone will have different views. There'll be people who like this ownership, there'll be people who don't, there'll be people who will accept the apology, there'll be people who don't. They burn bridges for some, they haven't burned bridges, and everyone's entitled to their own opinion. And that's the thing, is that, for example, the Spirit of Shankly might say something that I disagree with, mm-hmm. and that I don't. And they might say, like, we're going to back this or we're not going to back this. And if I don't agree with it, then I think, again, I'll say that, and I think people will say that. I think that's the most important thing. Chris is right in that. What we've seen over the last week or two, well, the last few days, week, is that when every, you know, outlet and cause and people come together on a cause, it can invoke change, and it can invoke quick change. Now, it'd be interesting to see where we go. There are plenty of other things wrong with football other than the formation of a Super League. The Super League was like really, really, really bad, but there are still some really, 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 really bad things happening in this game. You know, the Champions League proposal is a joke. For example, you know, Patrick Bamford brought up, isn't it amazing how we can all protest about this, and yet, you know, there's racism and, you know, people are getting hit in the pocket, so we're all involved, but then, you know, there are other issues. So I think there's like, whatever comes of this, what I've loved is that you guys have done it with other fan channels. You know, there's been a clear message that all these football fans together can invoke change in roughly less than 48 hours by doing something about it. Yeah. So that's my main takeaway, is that there are things that need sorting and there are things that need to get passed off. I think all the, like, you know, and it will be with unions coming together, you know, Spurs and Shankly and the Tottenham version, the Chelsea version, the Arsenal version, if they continue to work together and say, actually, here's the five issues we want to focus on, let's get this boxed off as well. I'm quite confident that there are some other things that could be changed. I, for example, think there will be some fan representation on boards across the football pyramid soon. Mm-hmm. And I think that would be the first thing that comes out of this. But there are so many issues. And like I say, unity is strength. Chris is absolutely spot on. I just hope that, like, the tribalism went away for 48 hours and we all agreed, this is crap. You know, you were talking to Manx and it was Arsenal and Spurs fans. Let's stick that together. You can hate each other on the pitch, off the pitch, we can work together. It works so well in Germany, for example. I really, really hope that this is the start of that and more of that.
Yeah, I agree. And that's just it, isn't it, really, Callum, is that Steve's dead right. There's a myriad of issues facing football right now, and I think they're right on that. I think it's not about every fan sitting round together holding hands and singing Kumbaya. You know what I mean? That can't happen because there's too much disparity in a lot of areas. But in terms of like fan organisations coming together, that absolutely should be, you know. And whether that's Spirit of Shankly or it's something bigger than that, I don't know. You know, that's not really for me to decide or what have you. But that's the point remains there, is that we need to use this as a platform to group together so that when we can go about ticking off these issues, because, you know, Steve's point doesn't end with the Super League. It doesn't end with sorting out UEFA reforms in terms of the Champions League. There's a ton of issues. We've got homophobia, racism, sexism. There's all kinds of different things that just need to, so we can all get back to just focusing on our love of the football.
Precisely, and I think Steve put it perfectly as well. And I think, obviously, the ESL and the way it came about was a terrible situation, but I think in every terrible situation, you really find out people's true colours, and you also find out just how strong we are, as not just as fans, but as people in general, and how impactful we can all be. And I think this now has set a precedent and a foundation for all these other issues in football going forward. I think there's been excuses and a lack of ambition to get rid of things like sexism, homophobia, racism. There are no excuses anymore. We've seen how impactful we can be. We've seen what these governing bodies and authorities can do when they really want to invoke change. And now going forward, we actually have to make it happen. We have to put pressure on these governing bodies to not let up. At the moment, we're in the main view right now. We are the ones leading this. It's us as fans who are doing that. now the onus and the responsibility has to be pushed back onto the governing bodies, and they have to do what they are paid to do. They have to make change at the right time for the right reasons. And I think now we've put the ball back in their court, and they have to show us what they're about now.
Absolutely. Well, listen, let's move on to the football then. And
we might have another fight today. I'm just seeing breaking news about this British Super League. That's what I was just looking up and stuff then. It's the shite of reporting it for a start.
Yeah.
So take it with a pinch of salt and stuff. But there may be developments later on. But let's focus on football for once.
Yeah, 100%. Which is very much a welcome oasis in the midst of all this, Chris. Because as I say, I think this is going to go on. This is going to rumble on. A lot of energy has been exerted this week, I think, to getting towards it. And you know, we almost glossed over an entire football game that happened in the midst of it. As
Mourinho got
fans.
Sacked this week.
Jose Mourinho lost his job. There's been midweek football matches. You know, we were here live covering like the breakdown of the Super League while Chelsea were playing Brighton, and it was only by the end of the Chelsea game we're like, oh well, are we happy that Brighton? We might actually be quite happy that Brighton have taken some points off Chelsea here. That thing, I got a little flutter of excitement actually just writing the agenda for this, of like, there'll be things going on around it, but there's going to be 90 minutes in the coming future where we just get to look at our team. We get to give Jurgen Klopp's boys the support that they deserve for the efforts they put in on the pitch.
And not just the efforts he put in on the pitch. You know, it's the off-the-pitch efforts which I applaud more than anything. It's the togetherness and that unity again that the squad showed against their paymasters, as it were. So, but yeah, this is it now. This is time for us to showcase, you know, what we're about, and that, you know, we can put those things aside and we can focus on the lads who've been doing the business for us for a long time. And that's what Newcastle is now for me. It's about making sure that the lads know that we support them, we appreciate them, and we trust that they can get top four for us this season.
Yeah, absolutely. Because again, it matters now, see, probably. certainly feels like it might matter.
Wish we hadn't dropped points on Monday, by the way.
Well, yeah, but we actually gained ground, didn't we? All told, a net gain for Liverpool, just ever so slightly on West Ham. But you know, as I said, there, Brighton did us a favour, Steve, and it's good that we get to have that focus. We get to look at it and go, okay, remind ourselves that what we're all in it for, what we were fighting for, is the ability to watch our lads play footy on the pitch. And Newcastle. Yeah, it's actually probably not a particularly great time to play Newcastle. They're in some semblance of form, unbeaten in three going into this. They took points off Spurs. They've beaten West Ham. They've actually been a big help to Liverpool in the last few weeks. We could do with just to put all of the
but to bring the tribalism back. We're unbeaten in four, Paul.
Yeah, to bring all the tribalism back. Let's put them back in their place. Eh?
Yeah, like I say, it kind of glossed over, but like in the race for fourth, Liverpool at the back of it at the minute, because Tottenham went above us with a win last night as well, albeit the next game. But we're at the back of this queue. You know, it's Leicester, Chelsea, West Ham, Spurs, and then us. We're at the back, so yeah, that was it. We need to start winning games. Like, we're probably gonna have to win what, 5-6 games? I don't know. It's gonna be a tough one. Like, it's not easy. Newcastle, it's pretty much must win now, isn't it? You know, 6 games to go. You're probably gonna need to win 5 of them. And yeah, this is one. It's a no-brainer. You've got to win it. Like you say, they've come in on the back of good form, albeit, you know, they beat West Ham, who had 10 players for the majority of the game, but still, they still won. They did us a favour. They did a job on Spurs. They beat Burnley, who we all know are amazingly easy to play against as well. So yeah, it's not going to be a good one. And like I say, in the midst of everything that was happening on Monday, everyone kind of just forgot that, like, Liverpool got another centre-half injured. Like, he just wasn't there. We just started the game. I was like, "Oh, right." I didn't even know the team. I just turned it on. I was like, "All right, oh bloody hell, oh, he's gone."
It was some normality in an absolute chitch over day, though, wasn't it? It was something we could hang on. I said, "There's our Liverpool. Thank you very much. Centre half injured. Brilliant."
Yeah,
no centre half and everyone missing sitters. It was like
the more things change, the more they stay the same. Yeah, I mean, look, we said Newcastle going to be a threat. Callum Wilson's back. He was back on the bench. He came off the bench for the injured Alan Saint-Maximin in the week, last time out for them. It's at Anfield. I don't know what that means. I don't quite know what the atmosphere, you know, I mean, obviously not in terms of there being people in the ground. I don't quite know what it's going to be like outside the ground. At the moment, the time of streaming, we don't quite know whether Brian Kopp will continue with the flags being removed. I suspect they will. So that's obviously a different...
I think they came out yesterday, didn't they, and said that the flags are going to be there as a support for the players.
Okay, quality. Well, that's good. Yeah, that's good. So yeah, it's going to be a different environment regardless. But yeah, you're hoping that now we need to get back to this world where Anfield becomes a fortress again. Because if we want to finish top four, this is it now. You can afford to have dropped that point given the circumstances on Monday. But, you know, there needs to be a redoubling of focus for the lads on the pitch here.
Yeah, agreed. This is a massive game, and it is. I never thought I'd say this since sort of the turn of the year, but I'm looking forward to Liverpool playing the match. It feels lovely. But if you think back, Newcastle was sort of the game that started the demise. Like, we dropped points against them. I think it was just before the new year, and we should have won that game, and we didn't. And then after that, we just went on a horror show after that. So you're almost hoping as though this now can be a catalyst to go the opposite direction and to get us into the top four as well. I think it's going to be a tough game. I think Newcastle will sit in and make it difficult for us, which is to be expected. How we react to Anfield, I think we'll have a good showing because of the win against Villa. I think that was massive, and the way it happened as well. But this is a huge game. Every game is huge now, and quote-unquote a cup final, but this is massive, especially with how results have gone, how results could still go as well. We have to capture 3 points, especially in our home games now.
I think the important thing about this, because we've been in situations before where, and I think Jürgen Klopp's done a good job, and to be fair, you know, wherever you sit on John Henry's apology, PR-wise, they've done it the right way in trying to separate him from the other aspects of Liverpool Football Club in this, because it's dangerous. You know, the realities of where we're at now, and what divides fan bases where you enter into a world where you have to start disrupting what happens on the pitch to be able to affect change higher up. We've done that. We've seen that in the past, and you know, again, look at like the ticket protests, having to walk out, turn our backs on the players just in order to make a statement. Sometimes you need to do these things, but I think I'm hopeful, and whether rightly or wrongly, we'll know in the fullness of time. I'm glad that I'm hopeful that the players are able to just get our support and to be able to switch on for this and not be too lost in the wider things that need to happen. Because conversations about Liverpool's ownership are going to be ongoing; they don't end here. They haven't ended, and they won't end here. There might be some big protests. There might be some big things planning. But yeah, I think they've managed this just correctly enough that we're able to support our team without coming across like we're somehow supporting a regime that we're not necessarily into.
Well, I think the players and the manager themselves did that personally. I think John Henry played off of that and riffed off of it. You know, he had no choice at the end of the day. The players came out first and said, we're against it. Jürgen Klopp came out first and said, we're against it. And John Henry just reiterated that point by not throwing them under the bus. Well, we would have been a fallacy, wouldn't it, if he'd have come out and said anything else, because we've seen the proof was in the pudding already. So I do understand that FSG have now distanced themselves. I found it interesting that he distanced Billy Hogan from it as well and stuff like that, but he certainly distanced the playing squad and the manager, and that means that we can get behind them, but not because of what John Henry said, because of their actions.
What do you make of the Billy Hogan, the Billy Hogan stuff on that?
I'd be shocked and surprised if he didn't know what was going on.
Yeah,
shocked and surprised. As an employee of FSG for the best part of a decade, I feel like he knew what was happening. Mm-hmm. Now, that doesn't say that he disagreed with them or agreed with them, but I do think that he knew. Mm-hmm. And that's a guess, complete and utter wild guess.
Yeah.
But he did say Liverpool didn't want to do it type of thing in his speech, didn't he? So that's also maybe saying that Billy Hogan disagreed. I don't know whether that's right or wrong. And, you know, as a fella who now has worked in London, who's worked in Liverpool, he probably does have his fingers on the pulse a lot more than John Henry and Tom Werner. So maybe he did disagree. Mm. But I think that he knew.
Yeah, and again, it comes back to it, doesn't it? It depends how much we're prepared to accept the words and the tone and all that I've said by the principal owner, I should say. But yeah, this is the good thing, isn't it? Because it's dangerous. It's a dangerous game. And my biggest fear as this week kicked off, because I remember what it was like to support Liverpool under Hicks and Gillette. And I remember, you know, we were talking about it a lot in and around the office. You know, we started during the protests. I remember being there. And I remember the divide in Liverpool's fan base as though, you know, you if you're crossing a picket line, you're a scab. That's a dangerous world to get into. You know what? At this point in time, Liverpool have got a handful of football matches left, and we all just, you know, at the moment we're trying to get into a competition that we're not particularly happy with, which is also a thing. But you know, again, the job is there in front of it. At our heart, we're fans of football, and we all want to be able to support our football team. I'm grateful, and you know, to Callum's point as well, I think we're all grateful of a little bit of a distraction from all this, if only for a short while.
Absolutely spot on.
Yeah. Let's say, mate, it's become a bigger game than it was. The Leeds game felt like a nothing game because it was like, well, even if we lose, we're still in this thing anyway, so like whatever. And now all of a sudden it's back to how it should be, it's back to what we were fighting for. I want Liverpool in the Champions League because Liverpool earned to be in the Champions League. So go out on the pitch and earn a place back in the Champions League. This season's gone horrendously wrong in a billion different ways, but you can go and salvage something. Paul, I remember the Middlesbrough game when we first got back into the top four, being outside with me and you. And both of us, considering we've both been to cup finals together and we've been to big games, we were both so nervous, and it was like, it's to come fourth. And it might be that we get to the last game of the season and it's Crystal Palace. I'm like, we're in that boat again. Obviously, we're not going to be in the stadium, but it'd be nice to be in that boat maybe. And the great thing of this weekend, obviously Spurs played because they've got the cup final, and West Ham and Chelsea play each other. So a win takes us guaranteed fifth. And that's a big psychological boost if you jump from seventh to fifth with one victory in one football game. Yeah. You know, regardless of what happens, hopefully Chelsea and West Ham draw, that'd be nice. But even if the other one wins, we're guaranteed fifth. And listen, I'm very much aware that fifth in the context of where Liverpool should be isn't great, but we are scrapping to get back into that again. So it's a really big game, and it's a game that is difficult. Our home form isn't brilliant. You know, it took a late goal against Villa to beat them, and we know what was going on before that. So Newcastle are coming in good form with not much pressure on them, and they get players back. I think that's, so it's a difficult game, and it's one that Liverpool have to win. And I'm just hoping, and Thomas Tuchel admitted it when Brighton drew with Chelsea, you know, he said, like, it was on my mind, it must have been on the players' mind. Hopefully there's enough time passed now where, right, that's been boxed off Monday night or whatever it was. You've now got all this time to just focus purely back on Newcastle. You don't have to worry about Jordan Henderson having to do a whip around on WhatsApp and stuff. You can just focus on the game. The graphics made, it's all been tweeted. Don't worry about it, lads. I'm boxing it, Jordan said. You go beat Newcastle. And now that's all been done.
He's like, how are you, lads? Has anyone got a login to Creative Cloud? I need to get on Photoshop.
I've got CS3 on an old laptop there. You don't need to get on the internet.
Anyone
cracked CS3?
Anyone been on the Pirate Bay? I've got a crack code. For CS3, that's a very, very niche reference for
one thing I was going to say is the difference between obviously the Leeds game and Steve kind of alluded to, and the Chelsea game from the other night is they now know these games are worth something. Mm. You know, even Chelsea at the time didn't actually know whether it was worth anything. So that should give them laser focus going into this.
And they were facing Adam Lallana, who was desperate to keep us in the fight as well. But he had shots on goal and everything. He was hitting things from all over the place. The only slight hope we do, this is to the typical conversation for this time of the season, Carl. Newcastle 15th in the Premier League, and they're 8 points clear of Fulham at the top of the relegation zone at the moment. That little spurt of form is probably just enough to have guaranteed safety for them. You hope, you know, your general hope is that we might have reached the point, you know, they're hurting, they've had quite a lot of injuries as well themselves. They've got three big hitters out for the season already themselves. You hope this is the game where if you can put a strong 30, 45, 60, whatever in, that they think, oh, well, this battle isn't for us. We're nearly on our jollies.
Yeah, I hope so. And I, as you said, I'm glad that Newcastle got that points lead that they built up over the relegation zone, because if they were anywhere near that, I think this game would have been horrific to play against. I think Bruce Ball is arguably one of the worst slogans and worst games.
You're just talking about his head.
So I'm hoping that we don't see that, but yeah, they've had injuries bad, but we are on paper the better team, and obviously football isn't paid on paper, because if it were, then we wouldn't be in seventh in the league. But I think the fact that we won that game at Anfield, I think the fact that they lost Saint-Maximin, who is a massive player for them, Callum Wilson might not be match fit yet. I think we are at an advantage. they have got some things that can cause us trouble, but we have way more weapons at our disposal that can give them headaches for at least 90 minutes.
Absolutely.
Has anyone seen the Steve Bruce at Weddings Twitter account in the last couple of years? Like, that was one of my favourites on Twitter. Do you remember that?
So quality.
Do you remember it, Cal?
That's what the internet is for.
I'm definitely going to
give it a Google.
Yeah, you need to get on Twitter and look for Steve Bruce at Weddings. It's probably,
it's probably got the fans now. Right, we're going to take a very, very short break. We've got a trivia question to tide you over, so stay tuned. The question is, name the five players currently at either club who have played for both. Back in a sec.
I mean, I think the fans have won the battle, but not yet the war. They'll be back. As you say, venture capitalists does what it says on the tin. They're here to make money, and they will be back, and they'll keep going until they get their money. The issue for English football is to try and guide them in the right way, to actually say, have the fans on side, and actually then just do it with dialogue, do it with communication, do it with respect. And I mean, I agree with you on the Champions League thing. I mean, I think probably UEFA probably quite enjoyed having 3 days of focus on the Super League plotters and this new thing coming. But look, everyone's been raising issues with the Swiss model, Swiss system. I don't like it at all. But in a way, that kind of argument ended the moment it wasn't simply the champions going into the European Cup. So yeah, look, I'm not a fan of that. But if it keeps football together, if it keeps the pyramid in shape, the European pyramid as well as the English domestic pyramid, then that's key, and it's a price to pay.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, everyone. Yes, welcome back. Full interview that I conducted with Emery Winter is on right now on the YouTube channel as well. Thank you for him, of course, for taking the time. Really interesting stuff, talking about how Liverpool's and all the owners involved in the creation of the Super League could have been so stupid as to launch a project that had 12 of the 20 teams announced and had a font that was generated in Windows 95 Word Art. Like, how does that happen? Well, he's got a few answers on all of that kind of stuff, and we talk a little bit about the future, as you've seen in the clip there.
I was thinking it was Carel's Raw, but go on.
Yeah.
Let's go with it.
Yeah, it was done in a basic CAD program.
Paint.
Probably that came on a CD-ROM that was bundled with your desktop power PC.
6 to 12 floppies.
and the words were all taken from Encarta. Yeah, definitely. That's how we got our GCSEs. Right, Sal, there's so many people under the age of like...
What's Encarta? Basically, it's Wikipedia on CDs, yeah?
Yes, Wikipedia on a CD-ROM. What's a CD-ROM? Oh, my God. Right, Sal. Yes. I just want to say, by the way, as well, in terms of the Henry Winter stuff, we do loads of that sort of stuff on a week-to-week basis, keeping up to date with what's going on in and off the pitch on the RedmenTV.com.
Can we have a one on Steve's head, please, Tom? sorry, Steve.
Yeah, it was a dynamite view, Steve. Yeah, it's kind of like the one where I looked down. And it's fine. We've put most of We've put the vast majority of everything we've done this week out on YouTube because it was important for that platform. So, you know, we normally do some absolutely amazing content on the redmentv.com, but we wanted to make sure that things went out on YouTube. If you want to support what we do here, and so many people have, and thank you so much for all of you guys who've done that, then yeah, please do check out our content over on our Liverpool streaming service at theredmentv.com. Bonus shows from the normal stuff that we do here in the studio, but also in-depth interviews, features, documentaries and series as well. Right. Ooh, the game itself. Oh, no, sorry, trivia. We named them. How did we get on, Chris? Do you want to name the five current Liverpool or Newcastle players who've played for both?
Gino Wijnaldum, Javier Manquillo, Andy Carroll, James Milner, and... did I say Gino Wijnaldum already?
You did.
Yeah.
Oh, John Joe.
John Joe. That was what you were doing.
He was giving us a clue.
Yeah, there you go. If you got those five all right, you're an absolute superstar and a wonderful, wonderful human being. You deserve everything you ever want in life.
And a technician?
A wonderful technician. Yes, absolutely. Right. Callum. The team, you know, it's mad because I was talking to Tom about this off cam, about how this game feels a little bit for me like if you ever miss a pre-season game and then you come to talk about the next pre-season game and you realise there's been like story threads and developments and characters and all this kind of stuff that you've missed out on. And it's a bit like that at the moment. I mean, there's obviously a couple of issues. Nat Phillips missing out the game, as Steve mentioned on earlier on, which means there'll be a question of who starts centre-half for Liverpool, which is probably a reasonable place to start. You know, Fabinho just dropped straight in against Leeds. Kabak had a good game by all accounts. What are you doing for this one? I think we all want Fabinho in midfield, but at the moment, Ben Davies continues to be a hologram. He's a cardboard cutout just to make up the numbers. A bit like, you know, when the people did that in the stands in lockdown one, where you can send your face in and they'll print it out and put it there. I think that's where he is. But also, you're looking at maybe Reece Williams. I don't know. What would you do for this one?
First and foremost, I'd pray that that's fit. But it's looking unlikely. With all due respect to Reece, I just don't think he's ready for this level right now. And I think if Callum Wilson's playing in this game, he'd bully Reece, in my opinion. So, and I don't think that'd do him any good at all. Unfortunately, as you said, Ben Davies is doing his best impersonation of Casper at the moment. So I don't think we're going to see him at all. So it's going to be Kabak and Fabinho, which is a shame because we do need Fabinho in midfield. However, without being disrespectful to Newcastle, you'd expect this is one game where we can survive without Fabinho in midfield, in my opinion.
Mm. I thought from what I watched of the game the other night that Thiago did a good job in that six, to be honest. I really hope he played in the six. But from where every time I saw him, certainly with the ball at his feet, you know, there was a great ball over the top, wasn't it? Was that Mo Salah's opportunity? It was a great ball from Thiago, I think. So he looked all right there, to be honest. And I think that's where our strength is at the moment. It is the midfield. And we can probably afford to drop one of them, obviously Fabinho, into the defence.
Yeah, we've been here before, haven't we, Steve? This is the problem with all of this, there is no solution that, you know, I'm glad it's, I'm at the risk of leading ourselves down a dangerous path here. You know, we're not playing Chelsea this week, with Man United next week. That, you know, there'll be different conversations to be had if we're in this situation again. What I'm kind of saying is you can get away with, I think, that thing of moving Fabinho for this game. But it's no coincidence that Liverpool's uptick in form has coincided with Fabinho being back in midfield. It's definitely a little point of concern.
Yeah, I'll disagree with the lads. Whoever Jurgen Klopp thinks is better out of Williams and Davies, I'm guessing whoever he just thinks is better in training or the better player, I'd pick him and I'd keep Fabinho in. Yeah, but I'd put Fabinho back in midfield.
Yeah.
I'm not a big fan of weakening two areas to fix one problem. It's not for me. So I think, even in the game that we were chasing, obviously against Real Madrid, the second we put Fabinho centre back, we were worse because we just couldn't get the ball back in midfield. We couldn't pen them in. Now, obviously, it worked against Villa. It worked as a break glass scenario. We did it, the Kabak off Fabinho in, and it did work. But it was a very short period of time where we did that. I would personally want Fabinho in midfield, and then again, I don't know. I can't comment on Ben Davies because I don't even know what he looks like, really. I couldn't even tell you that. I saw Rhys Williams a bit, and obviously the Man United Cup fiasco kind of, that was kind of the end of Rhys for a little bit, wasn't it? But whoever's better out of those who throw them in and then get Fabinho back in the six and then go from there would be my view. Again, it is a risk, and Callum Wilson's a good player, a very good player, but stop the supply line to him rather than trying to box him off there. Let's try and win the ball in the field and stop it getting to him in the first place.
On the Ben Davies stuff, the problem he might face, Chris, is he's left-footed. And you're moving Cabach. I mean the Fabinho thing, I wonder whether Fabinho was just dropped in because none of us had heard anything about the Nat stuff. I mean, we didn't even get the team news until 2 minutes before the game kicked off, pretty much. But I don't know. What we don't know is whether that was just a case of someone gone outside here.
Someone blowing him here.
I might not pick up for the viewers, but yeah. Anyway, I feel like someone was you know, just whispering gentle whispers on the wind. Anyway, you drop Fabinho in at short notice because it's not a disruptive thing and it's a good plan. You know, everyone knows the jobs. Whereas if you know Nat Phillips is out, you've got a week to prepare something else. So, you know, maybe you do move Cabach to the right side of centre half. Maybe you do bring Davies in, or maybe you've trained Reece up for the week in preparation.
Yeah, I take what Steve said, and I can see the merits in what Steve's saying. But for me, I'm looking at my midfield and going, well, I've got Gini, I've got James Milner, who's playing really well at the last couple of weeks, and I've got Thiago there. And if, again, no disrespect to Newcastle here, but that midfield's a good midfield, and they should be able to protect the defence. And, you know, we know what Fabinho can do. He's a really good centre-half. Steve points right. He's a better six than what we've got available to us. Mm-hmm. But I also think he's a better centre-half than what we've got available to us. And if you're going to ask me to choose between the two, I'm going to say we're going to need a better centre-half than a better six in this game.
I suppose it depends what Newcastle's approach to this really, isn't it, Cal? Because, you know, if they're just going to sit in it on the counter attack, they're going to follow the blueprint, which we now know. We know what I mean by that now, you know, because we've watched us be unravelled by the blueprint in the entire, it's for 2021. It's about being made miserable by the blueprint by managers of other teams. If they're not planning on playing football, if they're just going to put as many men behind the ball and then bang balls over the top, then maybe we don't need to have Fabinho and maybe having that control and looking to just make sure we keep them penned in. But equally, I mean, look, we talk about the break glass option. You might be able to do that with Fabinho at centre-half, because if you're going to play a high line, that works both ways. Yes, you may be susceptible to balls over the top, but it also does allow you to compress the pitch as well.
Yeah, it is a conundrum for Klopp. And yeah, you're right. I mean, when I used to hear the word blueprint, I used to think of Jay-Z, but now I just think of a low block and counter-attacking football against Liverpool. So it's bloody
annoying. Blueprint 2, I take it we're talking about here. Because no one really thinks of one, do they?
No.
references on this show, oh my, it's like anyone born after 2008. The blueprint version, we've had a lot of references, yeah.
Look, sure. Show my age. But yeah, I think, I mean, I do fully see where Steve's coming from, but we don't know what Ben Davies brings to the table. And unfortunately, we know what Reece brings to the table, and I don't think it's good enough for what we're trying to achieve right now. Mm-hmm. So Fabinho is the safe option. Now, granted, I think, as you said, it works both ways. Fabinho's not the quickest, so anything in behind or over the top, we could be susceptible to. However, he is a brilliant ball player, so he could provide an outlet that we wouldn't have from centre-back if one of the others were to play. So I would sort of steer towards playing Fabinho there, but I think Curtis Jones would be a great person to have back for this game. I don't know if he's available, because I think he would add something different to our midfield. Obviously, you've got Ox and Kea, but neither of them are in good form, and I don't know if they're really in favour at the moment. But obviously, if it's Milner, Gini and Thiago, you've got enough in there to beat them. I just don't know if you've got enough to create consistently for 90 minutes.
Well, there's a comment coming here from Kenneth Sweeney, who says, is Chamberlain done, Chris? I can't see him playing next season either. And that's another one for this, because at the minute, the thing about playing those midfield three is we're getting back into that territory of you're starting to go, who's available? Because if Curtis Jones is still not available, like, I have no problem with freshening things up with putting Curtis in there if we need to. But if he's not, it's then Keita or Oxlade-Chamberlain. Who knows on Keita? And at the moment, kind of who knows on Ox as well.
Yeah, I mean, Ox seems to be certainly ahead of Naby at the moment, doesn't he? I think, mm-hmm. you know, we saw that with a cameo, obviously, last couple of times we've played and stuff like that. And, you know, I think against Real Madrid, he showcased a little bit that he's not completely done. I think, obviously, he gets a decent opportunity the other night and doesn't stick it away, doesn't control the ball very well. That looks like ring rust to me, as it were.
Yeah.
He, unfortunately, needs game time. And when we are so caught up in this race for top four, he's not going to get given the time to be able to, unfortunately, get his fitness and his touch back.
It's get all your trustworthy players on the pitch and put your foot to the floor.
And that's
now,
what it kind of is, isn't it? I mean, I'd love like Cal, Curtis Jones, to be fit and available for this one. Absolutely love it. I think it's a perfect type of game for him. You know, again, he can build towards that end of the season, keep that momentum up from earlier on in the year and really take that into next season. But right now, Oxlade-Chamberlain is probably the midfield option. I don't think it's working, per mm-hmm. se, when he comes off the bench. But if you want to freshen something up in the middle of the park, then go for it.
The other big question...
He's just not as technical a player, is he?
No.
You know, I think he needs space to stride into.
Yeah.
That's not what Liverpool are. Liverpool 17-18, perfect.
Yeah, he's a great...
Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain, perfect.
He's brilliant. He's actually got great close control and all that, but you're right, he's not a... He looks at his best when he's in motion.
Yeah. I'd rather have a Lallana right now to bring on when teams are sat back, and people might laugh at this, than an Ox. Because I know what he can bring and I know he can spot a pass, and Shaqiri's good at that as well. He's better than Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain. Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain, amazing, but not for this Liverpool side right now.
Steve, Salah defo starts this one, but for whom?
Yeah, I was going to say that's the other option that we're not really discussing, that you could just pick all four of them.
Yeah.
That's the other option. If you're not happy with your three midfield options and you're worried about creativity, you can just play all four of them. And Fabinho goes into a 10 and Jota's up front or whatever. That's one way you're doing it. Salah plays. No question that Salah plays. What's the point of resting him twice on the run? You're not dropping Mo Salah. So, yeah, he's in. Personally, I think we will see Jota miss out.
Yeah.
But if I'm Jäger, I will pick all four of them. Because I'm with Callum before, is that... Thiago is very brilliant and technical, but like, is he that? He hasn't created tons at Liverpool, again, just different circumstances and stuff. But around it, I would have Fabinho and Thiago in midfield, and then all four of them up front, or Fabinho and Wijnaldum. Not really fussed, and I would be going for the win early doors. And then you've always got your other options, but yeah, I think it'll be Jota who misses out, if I had to guess.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I've seen this kind of mentioned in the comments early doors, Carl, is that Jota, he came back brilliantly. He came back exactly as we needed him to, but he is having, I mean, maybe slightly critical, because it's not like anyone else is pulling up trees in the front three, really, in terms of goal scoring output. But I think you could do worse than go back to him being that impact sub. Either or, I think, go for it. Throw everything you've got at them and look to smash them to pieces, or you know, have Jota for half an hour if you want to build or continue to rotate the intensity.
Yeah, I'm with Steve on this one. I'd go all four from the beginning. Just try and just get an early goal or a goal in the first half. Grab two if you can, and then just see out the game. I hate that we go into games and sometimes we have to chase it, because that never seems to work for us at the moment, because teams are so compact and we are low on confidence and we just haven't been at it this season. So I'd rather us try and go out for the win from early doors, get it secured, and then coast the rest of the game. I did want to throw a curveball at you guys.
Oh, go on.
Robbo's been played into the ground this season.
No.
We're
not going to play toss like Shimakas. It's never going to happen.
Okay, cool. We'll see. I bet you can just ask my mum for a PS5 at Christmas.
Well, Santa's elves are suffering from a major part shortage, unfortunately. I'll be honest, Carl, I have been banging this drum now for 3 weeks, and you've fallen foul of that, I think. There, no, I agree. I 100% agree that if I thought for a single second that he's another one, if he was a player, I don't know why we've not, and it leads you down the path of he must just be crap. But I think he's fallen into the Oxlade-Chamberlain trap, where he needs five games.
And that's the end of the year.
And exactly, you know, this is exactly this, you know, and it's not like last season where we played Naby for all nine of the post restart games, you know, some off the bench or whatever, because you could afford to. And Nico got game time and Curtis got game time because, well, we had five subs and you can do this. My hope, and I don't care whether he succeeds or not. I'd rather he did, because we'd be asked to go and buy someone else when you've already bought someone and they've had a year to integrate. But he's definitely fallen foul of, obviously, injuries, which have kept him out, the pressure, the centre-back issue, and the fact that we've only got three subs in this current climate. If we'd had five subs, he'd have definitely played more. But I don't know, because every game's must win, I just can't see when he turns around to Andy Robertson, or Andy Robertson allows him to turn around to him.
That's it. I agree as well. Look, I think Andy Robertson does need a break, but also I think he needs pushing through until the end of the year now. You've gone past the point of no return to him. That being said, and this is my hypocrisy coming in, why I don't want Liverpool to go with the front four is because of what happens if you get an injury to them and you've pinned your hopes on this is the way that we're going to do it. Mm-hmm. And then you're pushing four lads who have all had their own struggles this season, every single game between now and the end of the season. And what happens if one of them picks up an injury because they're not getting any breaks?
Yeah.
You know?
Well, the alternative to all this, of course, or putting this kind of together, because Andy Robertson does. And look, we saw Mo Salah rested. We've seen Mane get a bit of a rest. Klopp has been trying to rest his big lads. You know, Trent got a rest before the Champions League game. Or was he injured? I think he was rested, wasn't he, when Nico played against Fulham? So he will. He can do. He just hasn't done it with Robertson. But you've got Milner's there. And if you're going to play all four, then I think that allows you to play Milner left back.
And maybe not when you've got Fabinho dropping into centre-half, though.
But yeah, but what I mean is...
Lightens your numbers in the midfield, doesn't it?
But it'll
Milner going there.
Yeah, it does, but it just for talking's sake, it unlocks the possibility because you don't need three in midfield, which means that at the moment, Milner has to start in midfield for me. But if you're only playing two in midfield, you can play Gini and Thiago if you have to as a two.
No, I get that, but for me, it's like, well, you've got Gini and Thiago as your two, but then you've changed half of your defence.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
I'd rather have three in front of them than two, if that makes sense.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
As much as it's a great conversation, I can guarantee you, if he's fit, Robertson plays all six games, 90 minutes. It's happening.
He's going to get his occasional sub. That's where he comes. The only rest Robertson's getting is that Milner gets shifted to left back with 10, 15 minutes to go thing, which is what we've seen really so far, isn't it? But, you know, interesting. I think there's a few more talking points around there, and feel free to let us know what they are, and we'll pick up with this ahead of the game at the weekend, of course. Just looking around the fixtures, obviously we're live now on Thursday morning. Leicester face West Brom tonight. In theory, Leicester should absolutely walk away with that, but we've seen West Brom throw a couple of shocks out in recent weeks themselves, even going back to us really post-Christmas. So that's one to have in at the back of our minds. As we get into the weekend, Chris, West Ham-Chelsea is after us. We are 12, half five West Ham-Chelsea. There's not really a truly terrible outcome for Liverpool. There might be some preferential ones, though.
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously a draw puts us level on points if we win with both of those teams, doesn't it? So the draw's where you want to go, I think. Yeah. And, you know, we know what Chelsea's last three fixtures are like. And, you know, West Ham really feeling the pressure of being side by side with Liverpool and Chelsea could be something for us as well. But it also means that, you know, if Leicester go and win tonight, they get a little bit of a breathing room and they might be able to relax a little bit more into where they are comfortable in third place. So obviously you don't want Leicester win, it goes without saying. But I think West Ham-Chelsea has got to be a draw for us. It's just got to be a draw.
Yeah, I think it's probably a sensible thing for us to just pretend Leicester win just for our own psyche, and if we get anything out of that, then that's great, because I think Leicester have got the situation now where they play Thursday, Monday, they got West Brom Thursday, Palace Monday night. I think that those two fixtures are going to decide whether they're in this fight for, you know, whether third is secured or third is absolutely up for grabs. I can't see them losing both of those games, which would blow it wide open. But it's not against the realms of possibility that they could drop some points across both of those games.
Yeah, I don't see Sam Allardyce pulling off anything in the game against them. However, Palace have a knack of just causing something crazy randomly sometimes. So I'm hoping they do that. I mean, we've been on the receiving end of Palace's, you know, renaissance when they decide to do it. But I think if Leicester navigate through their next three fixtures, then I think they're clear. because their last three fixtures are horrible for them.
Yeah.
And they play some real, real big teams who are also vying for top spots in the league as well. So if they come out unscathed out of these three games, I think they're secured. If they don't, I think they capitulate, in my opinion.
It's game on, isn't it? If that happens, absolutely certainly. So, yeah, plenty of little side stories happening in the actual football this weekend, of course. And as we say, we've seen Man United fans protesting at their training ground, delaying training on Thursday morning. I'm sure there'll be things happening around Anfield, and, you know, we will try our best to continue to do as we have done and provide a platform and make sure this stuff doesn't get swept under the carpet, the coverage is given to things as and when they happen. But, yeah, what I would suggest is, obviously, it's a perfect time now to keep your eyes on the likes of Spirit of Shanklin, just see what the kind of movement is, because when we move, we want to make sure we move with as much strength and force as possible. But yes, for those of you who just want to focus on the football, that's cool. I don't think the time now is certainly not to be turning on one another. Hopefully, as mentioned earlier on the show, that we're all able to give our focus and attention to enjoying the beautiful game that we all love so very much, while the rest of football burns around it, and before we dive back in, pick the hoses up and start working as firefighters again. Let's have some score predictions. Chris, what do you think the score is?
So have you done Scott Talk Super Chat?
I have not, no.
No, so it really ties in really beautifully. Actually, thank you so much, Scott, again. $25, my word. Nice to be talking football rather than impending doom. Cheers. And wasn't it just? Score predictions, Liverpool 2, Newcastle United 1.
Ooh, stay home.
1-0 to Liverpool.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, probably. Go on, Cal.
I'm going 2-0 Liverpool.
Go on, my son.
We scored a goal in the first half of a football match on Monday night. I know. Shut the front door. I am hoping this is like a big moment for in our season for this. Yeah. No. Liverpool 5, Newcastle United 0.
Fuck off!
I love you, Paul. I love you so much.
There it is.
Fucking deluded.
Let me know your score predictions, everyone, in the comments section.
We've had a 9-0 from Mohit Kumar.
Why not? Why not? But look, we live in optimism.
Rose AT, Machin's late nights have been catching up with him.
Yeah, absolutely. This is the game where they all go in. That's what I'm saying. And, you know, this is the perfect time. The reason why, whether it'll happen, I think it will be 1-0, to be honest, but I'm happy. I've got vibes on 5. I would never put any money on it, by the way, so do not take that as anything from me. As far as perfect timing goes with Chelsea, West Ham, and depending on how Leicester goes, if you can just go and go, oh, Liverpool might be faulting, they've got all these problems. That's my focus. If I'm Jurgen Klopp, I'm going, right, let's just go out. Let's go out and do something here. All the players should be fired up. They should be pumped up for this. They've got a point to prove. They've got to prove that they're not affected, and they've got to prove that they've got something to earn. So let's hope that Newcastle feel the full force of all of that. Score predictions, team selections in the comments section underneath. Do check out the interview with Henry Winter. It is available for free right now on the YouTube channel, so much appreciated and all that. Thank you for the comments, thank you for the super chats, thank you for the likes, and thank you for the guys for joining us on the show today as well. As I said, I don't quite know what's going to be going on Saturday around the game. There will be a watch along commentary as normal, and obviously we're going to sort of take our lead from other people and see what goes on with regards to things that happen pre-game and protests and all that. But yeah, stay tuned to our Twitter at the Redmen TV for more updates and information and all that. And yeah, hopefully we see the Reds absolutely stuff Newcastle at the weekend. Ta-da.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.